Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for waking up for us this morning.
You're welcome.
I was not thanking you, but okay. Somebody has to answer back, right?
I'm tired.
There you go. I know. Me too. Do you think it was the champagne from yesterday?
No.
No. Huh?
I had many hours in between that, but I stayed up late watching one of my favorite shows. And by late, I mean like till 11:30.
Wow.
And then this morning I woke up and I didn't drink all my coffee. So I'm half the person I should be.
Yeah. Well, we drank champagne here yesterday, mimosas, and it kicked my ass in the afternoon when I went to take a nap.
Did it?
I couldn't get up after that.
Really?
It was a very deep sleep, yeah.
Yeah, that's you know, the joys of day drinking. You get a nice nap in, too.
That's true. It was a great show. If you guys missed it yesterday, Jen's friend Lauren was here, and we had a blast. And did you get a buzz or anything from the champagne? Did you feel
no.
a little? No. I know, neither did I. I mean, we needed another bottle.
Probably.
Right?
Well, also my tolerance these days is kind of like through the roof.
Yeah, I guess a lot of episodes of Two Drunk Girls.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I would need like bottomless mimosas for it to make a dent. But also, I just sort of went about my day, and I think I just was so busy I didn't notice, even if I was.
Right. But I mean, during the show, you didn't feel anything?
Actually, no, I started to feel a little bit. That's why I couldn't finish my glass.
Yeah.
So
I know. I felt a little bit, but nothing, you know. I mean, that's the thing. You have to drink quite a bit. And
right.
I have high tolerance, too, although I don't drink much. But I've taken a lot of other things in my life. So you
know? I felt like if I finished my glass, which I had like a couple sips left, I probably would have started to get a buzz. And then another one would have just made me.
Yeah.
Like.
I know, and you needed to drive
out.
And everything,
yeah.
So I'm glad you watched yourself there.
Thank you. I was trying to be responsible.
Yeah, there you go. You got to be, you know. Yeah, drinking in the morning is not a bad idea sometimes.
No,
it's
a good time.
Every once in a while, it's fun.
Yeah.
I can't imagine doing it every day, but, you know, what do I know?
No, I was actually asked to do a really fun date with someone this weekend, doing a boozy brunch with, like, mimosas and stuff, and then going to a museum we hadn't been to before.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that a good date?
That's a cool date.
It's a really good one.
Yeah. What museum? The LACMA?
No,
something?
I don't know. Just one neither of us have been to.
Oh, okay. How long have you guys dated?
We haven't. We had a coffee date one time.
Oh, I see. And you're already going to the museum. That's pretty cool.
I know. I thought that was a great date. I was like, that's something I would want to do like with a boyfriend. And
right.
like I would want to do it anyway. So I didn't come up with it. He did. And I was like, you get a lot of points for that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There you go. You see, he scored quite a bit.
Yeah.
Well, I hope we don't lose you to marriage soon.
But
I know you're looking for it.
Yeah.
So that's okay. We'll all celebrate when you finally find the one.
Thanks. When I finally find the one.
Well, we have a very special guest in the studio. We're going to get to her in a few minutes. And I know I said that all the guests are special.
I know, I was just laughing, but I was holding
are.
It in.
Yeah, but no, but they really are, you know.
Yes.
I mean, I really appreciate when the guests come here and we treat them like guests and stuff with respect, you know. We don't ambush people here. We're not Howard Stern.
No.
So to us, every guest is special. And indeed, she is special because she's a great person, I think. You know, just from what I read about her, she seems awesome.
Yes.
So we'll see in a few minutes. Today is Friday the 13th.
Yes.
And
do you feel unlucky?
No. Does that mean anything to you?
No.
I mean, that it's the 13th? Nothing.
All
right?
I hear is Friday.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but people have to remind us.
Right.
It's like as though it's important or anything. You
no,
know?
We need to know the significance, I think, in order to really address the unluckiness of
right.
it. I don't really get it, but I've never felt unlucky.
Mm.
So I don't know. Maybe some people just happen to have a bad day that
yeah.
day. Or they
I'm
expect
sure it.
It
has to do with religion, right?
I
mean,
think
obviously,
so.
Yeah.
Also, I think it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So if you think you're going to have a bad day, you probably will.
Right. I had a bad day.
Oh, da-da-da. Look at you.
Yeah, there you go. You see?
It's a musical show today. I did not expect all that.
Yeah, there's always surprises on this show.
Always surprises. Yesterday there was alcohol. Today there's singing. What are you doing this weekend, Sam?
Not much, Jen. Not really much. I'm just going to relax. I am hoping to remember to go to the beach with my bike, because sometimes I forget. Because I, you know, I mean, if I sleep in and I get up at 12, I'm not going to the beach.
Right.
Like half the day is over.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you could also go to sleep earlier tonight.
Yeah.
And then
that's
go to
what
the beach.
I need to do.
Yeah.
You know, and get up at 9 or something. Yeah. Get to the beach by 11. That would be perfect. So I think I'm going to do that. You know, no point in staying up so late on Friday night.
No, and Saturday and Sunday are so great. You got to make the most of your days.
I know. So we'll see. Maybe we'll see some action, but I'm not sure. We'll see. What about you? Oh, so you're going to the museum.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm also celebrating St. Patrick's Day, I guess, this weekend with friends.
Oh, it is this weekend?
Well, no, it's on Tuesday, but people celebrate it the weekend before, so okay. You can like really make the most of the entire day.
Right.
I also have to film Two Drunk Girls.
Oh, okay.
And I'm seeing Cinderella.
Oh, really?
Yep.
The film?
Yep.
The new film?
My best friend and I, my other best friend, I have several of them, just my other best friend, we're going tonight to the Grove, and we're going to wear crowns.
Ah,
we have crowns because we're princesses for the night.
Yeah, there you go. Look at you.
And I think her boyfriend's going to drive us there, like in our horse-drawn carriage.
Yeah.
So we can drink. And that's what I'm doing tonight.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Did you get up get caught in the traffic yesterday with Obama in town?
No.
No, neither did I. Some people were really pissed. I mean, posting pictures of snarling traffic and everything.
Yeah, I didn't experience any of that.
Yeah, good for you.
I was in West Hollywood, though, all day.
Yeah, but sometimes they drive through there, too. I don't know.
That's true. They drive on Sunset, and they close the whole thing off.
Right. I wonder where he was going. Where do they take him when he comes into town?
Well, he went to Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And Jimmy Fallon was taping here, I think, because he did the segment on reading, like, mean tweets out loud.
Uh-huh.
Like
yeah,
Jimmy
I heard
Fallon
about
does.
That.
And so he read tweets about himself.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that must have been funny. Did you watch
No, it? But I heard about it on the Today Show this morning.
Oh, okay. Well, sounds good. But just for a TV show, I don't see the point in blocking so many streets.
Well, they have to because it's him.
Yeah.
So whatever he's doing, where I mean, he could come into town just to go, like, to tea, to, yeah. Like, high tea.
I mean, how typical, you know? You come to Hollywood just to be on a TV show, and you're the president of the United States. You never come to L.A. for anything political, but for a TV show,
right.
You're
going to think he, well, the only other times he comes are for, like, dinners.
Yeah.
And those are, like, with entertainment people to, like, raise money.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay, well, I guess that's what we're known for, you know, so
right.
What the hell, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, welcome to town, Mr. President. He probably left already.
Yeah, I think today he's leaving.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what time. Where does he stay when he comes to town?
I don't know. Probably the Century Plaza or something. Isn't that like the classiest hotel in town?
I have no idea.
Yeah, they have presidential suites there and stuff. So maybe there. I don't know.
Interesting. I'm curious as to like which hotel gets the president.
Right.
And how much that costs. Like he probably has to rent out the whole hotel.
Nah, I don't think so. Do you?
I don't know
just
because
put security
with
there.
Well, I guess yeah.
I can't imagine they shut the hotel down.
Well, the Secret Service aren't doing their jobs these days.
Yeah, I know.
Driving into things.
Driving into things. Probably drunk, right?
Yeah, that's what they said. They were at
a party
and then they got a call to like come back to the White House.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, basically, they're on call all the time. So
right.
Like, I think they should probably just not drink. But they went back to the White House, and then they drove over the suspicious bomb that they were supposed to look at, I think.
Right.
So,
Is that like the saddest joke you've heard this week? I mean, come on.
Like, I'm sorry. It makes a mockery of our nation when our president's Secret Service are the ones that are, like, making mistakes.
Like you said, they're not even supposed to be drinking. I mean,
no.
That's a job where you don't drink.
No, and when we say we have, like, the most powerful military in the world, and then that happens, it's like, really? Okay, Dumb and Dumber.
I know. A lot of ridiculous things happening there, you know, like when you get kids breaking through the fence and, you know, and getting into the White House. I mean, what is that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's human flaw, human error.
Yeah. Wow. So I just wanted to bring up this story because today we're going to talk about bullying and everything. And there's a story about middle schoolers that walked off the court to stop the bullying of a girl with Down syndrome. She's a cheerleader. So she started being bullied during the game, I guess, or something.
Oh, wow.
So they stopped the game, and they walked off the court. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, in support of her.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
You need to support people. I mean, this is totally unacceptable.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's a great response, too.
Yeah. I know. People are just so mean, you know. I mean, middle schoolers especially.
I mean, people are so mean across the board. Then there's, like, let's not discredit all the nice people doing things out there. Yeah. But then there's, like, what's happening in, you know, Ferguson, Missouri. And, like, people can be mean about every single thing.
Right.
Whether it's some issue you have, whether it's your color, whether it's what you wear, whether it's what religion you are. It's like, where does it end?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's just so crazy. And, you know, it's always great to hear the people that are defending certain groups of people or certain issues. And then there's just so many others.
Yeah. Not everybody's an a-hole, you know?
No, not everybody is.
Good thing, man.
And thankfully, we have people that are defending, you know, the people that need to be defended.
Right. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, let's get to our guest now, who's sitting here patiently, and we're eager to talk to her. We have Haley Gripp in the studio. Welcome to the show, Haley.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. A beautiful young lady. Is this your natural red hair?
It is.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
We were talking about redheads yesterday.
We were.
And I told you how much I like redheads.
Yes, you know,
you do. They're special. You know, do you feel special? Because of your hair.
There's not many redheads left. Apparently, we're going extinct, so that could be a way to feel special.
Really?
That's good.
How's that happening?
Well, we're a recessive gene, and so they're just not producing as many redheads.
Really?
Yeah.
Especially probably with, like, cultures mixing.
Uh-huh.
I would guess that that's probably, like, also part of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably, yeah. So, Haley, are you originally from L.A.?
Yeah, I am. Born and raised in Pasadena.
Wow, very cool. So you went to school here. Do you have any siblings?
I do. I have a sister who's 27 and a brother who will be 25 in October.
Cool. And how old are you?
I'm 21.
Awesome. You see, at this age, you can ask a woman how old she
is
because they're proud. In fact, they want to be older.
It's true.
I'm happy being 21 for the rest of my life.
There you go.
It's
a
good age.
Yeah, there you go. You see, she's embracing it. Awesome. So, So you grew up in Pasadena. Did you go to a good school, do you feel?
From the age of kindergarten till eighth grade, I was at five different schools because I went through some medical issues and it was hard finding a diagnosis and whatnot. I went to an amazing high school, though, which was just so supportive and really helped nurture my love of helping others. The motto of my high school, which is LaSalle in Pasadena, is enter to learn, leave to serve.
I like that.
Me too.
Yeah. And to serve not like a policeman in L.A., but serve, right?
Serve as in give back to community service.
Yeah, not like as protect and serve and shoot our people. Yeah, there you go. So you had a tough childhood.
Yeah.
What happened? What happened between 1 and 8?
Well, it all kind of starts at 8.
Oh, okay. That's when it starts? When you were 8 years old?
Yeah, it starts, pretty much kind of when I was 10 was when I was diagnosed, but I was showing signs at 8 of Tourette syndrome.
Of Tourette syndrome. And explain to us what that is for those who don't know.
Tourette syndrome is a bioneurological brain disorder. So if you want to raise your arm or stomp your feet, your brain has to send messengers, like signals, which are called neurons, to tell you to move or to speak. Well, when someone with Tourette's has something called a tic, which is spelled T-I-C, not like the bug.
Right.
It's an involuntary, sudden, rapid, reoccurrent, stereotyped motor or vocal involvement your body makes that it cannot control. And so there's no cure for Tourette's because every single person with Tourette syndrome has a different type of tic. Oh. And it can be any movement, whether it be clapping, tapping, twitching, head jerking, and any sound, so barking, hiccuping, yelling out, and so you really, really honestly never know what you're going to get.
Wow. So the body just does this?
And it can't control it.
Yeah. Wow. So this was discovered with you at the age of 8?
No. I was 10. I was showing signs at age 8, but I wasn't diagnosed till age 10.
Right. So that's amazing because it didn't really manifest itself until later, right? It's not like from birth it inflicted you.
Well, we're born with it, but it doesn't show up until between the ages of 5 and 9. So you don't know for quite a few years. And there are certain special cases where it does show up very early on, but that does not always happen. It's mostly between the ages of 5 and 9.
Right. Did you feel something, wrong? Like when you were growing up, did you feel there's something? No, right? So only at 10 or at 8, you started showing like tics and symptoms and things like that?
Yeah. Well, it might be better if I kind of tell the story
to
help understand, because that's usually is the best way.
Okay.
Basically, after 2 years of trying to find out what was wrong with me on different medications, I went into my current doctor, who I've been in with for 10 years, and he looks at my mom and I, and he says, "Your daughter has Tourette's syndrome." And he looks at me, and he says, "You will never have control of your body." And I look at him in the eye, and I tell him no. But little did I know that having Tourette's would be the least of my worries, because 2 years later, I would face the biggest challenge of my life. For 2 years, I was bullied by a teacher, and she slandered me and said that, said to the other students, if they became my friend, they would get Tourette's syndrome. She made it very clear that students with differences and disabilities were not tolerated nor accepted in her classroom.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. And the principal was on her side, and part of the problem was that there were no laws to protect me because I was a special case because I had a disability.
Right.
And so they just looked at it as a strict teacher. I was academically abused once. My mom got that overturned because my mom's a teacher, but I just had to deal with it. And for 7 hours a day for 2 years, my desk was my prison cell and my teacher was my warden.
Wow.
Now, I put up a wall to protect myself from the pain. But at 16 years old, I was tired of being angry and sad and, you know, not making friends. My Tourette's was doing bad. And finally, I asked myself why. And it was because I was holding on to a grudge, to the anger against the teacher and the students who bullied me. I'd never forgiven them. So I thought long and hard. And I thought, it's not fair that they're still affecting me after this many years. So I forgave them and I let it go. And once I did that, my Tourette's got better by about 80%.
Wow.
And then I went to Washington, D.C. and trained as an ambassador for the Tourette Syndrome Association. And they helped to give me the tools to get the IDEA Act passed. And this prevents any teacher in the state of California from abusing a student with disabilities. And that was me fighting back positively. Oftentimes when we're bullied, it's really hard because we look like, if we try to stand up, we're looking like we're retaliating.
Yeah.
And that's when we can be framed as the bully and all the drama. Anyways, everything was going great for about a year. And then suddenly I lost my dad at 17. At this point in my life, I had a choice. I could drown in my sorrows or rise up above and look at everything positive in my life.
Right.
And that's what I chose to do. I went to a year at the University of Laverne. But one of the last things my dad said to me was, "Haley, you need to stop pleasing others and follow your own dreams." So I left. And then a year after I left, I worked. I went out for CSI and Lifetime and Hallmark and booked them all.
Wow.
And everything. And then launched my anti-bullying campaign, Being Nice is Cool.
Wow. Wow. So now, so did you decide consciously to become an actress?
I grew up always wanting to do acting, but I started with modeling first, even though I'm short.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, this past fall, walked LA Fashion Week and New York Fashion Week, and then did Verizon and As Seen on TV. But I miss the art of acting, of challenging myself, stepping outside my comfort zone. And so that's what kind of drew me back towards acting.
Yeah, wow. So you started acting early on in your life?
No? I didn't start till I was almost 20 years old.
Oh,
so,
wow.
When you left Laverne?
Yeah. Oh. So it will be 2 years in August. No, 3 years in August.
Uh-huh. Wow, and you already booked all these roles and everything, huh? Did you have to study acting?
You know, I took a class in college and whatnot, and I'd love to take an acting class, but I support myself financially because my mom's a school teacher and whatnot, and I wouldn't have it any other way because I've learned what it's like to feel the success and know that I'm able to support myself and my dream and that I'm happy. And
right.
There's no greater gift than that.
That's amazing. And I mean, you know, when someone has a difficult life and then they manage to take control of their lives and actually go and get a job, that's so admirable, you know, because so many do not. You know, I mean, people get out of college, they get out of high school, they don't do anything. They don't want to work. They stay home till a later age, and you decided you're going to do it differently. Do you live with your mom, though, still?
Yeah, I moved back home because she got sick. And so, yeah, but it's really nice that I live in Pasadena, which is like 25 minutes out of the industry because I have a sense of normalcy.
Yeah.
And routine, and I like that. I like that part of my life. It keeps me very grounded because I've had a lot of success very fast.
Right.
And you know, it keeps my priorities straight, and it's the right fit for me.
Wow, very cool. So you couldn't really sit in an office doing a 9-to-5 job. You're not for that.
I could.
You're a creative.
But would
type.
I? No.
So what kind of work do you do now? Get a little closer to the mic, too.
Sure. Well, I'm now the 2015 face of Dermovia Skincare. And so we're launching a campaign called Embrace Your Face, which comes out in June. And it's to help promote self-confidence and self-esteem in teen girls from kind of showing from the beauty within. I mean, you could be the most beautiful supermodel, whatever you are, but if you're not pretty on the inside, too, it doesn't mean anything.
Right. Because people see through that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I've got a featured article coming out in Simply Gluten Free magazine in the May-June issue. I wrote an article. I was in a severe car accident about a year ago. A woman ran a stop sign, and I was supposed to die. And
are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I have nothing.
We're going to talk about your life, too.
I have nothing but forgiveness for her, though, from day one, because holding on to that anger would just inhibit my healing process.
Yeah. So obviously that's your lesson in life, is to overcome anger. Would you say? I mean, because that's what you said before.
Yes, but I wouldn't say overcome anger. I would say, I would rephrase it to say to never give up hope. Because that's a positive way of saying it.
Right, right. And maybe anger is because you're not happy with the way things are going and stuff, and then, you know, you need to make things work out for you. So, but I mean, there's no denying you've had challenges in your life and stuff. Did you ever try to think why? Why are you going through hard times all the time? Or do you feel it's pretty much everybody's destiny pretty much is to go through challenges?
Well, one thing that I've been asked before is, Haley, if you could never have had been diagnosed with Tourette's, would you? And probably when I was younger, I would say, oh, I would love to not have it. But it was given to me for a reason, because I'm a voice for those that don't have a voice. Mm-hmm. And because I can help others through my experiences. I also mentor teens with Tourette's who are going through difficult times and help give them that support and empowerment that they need. Along with my motivational speeches. But, you know, I think everything in life happens for a reason. And I believe that what we take from those experiences will only make us stronger.
Yeah, I mean, they say, you know, that because, I mean, bad stuff happens to everybody. But they're saying it doesn't matter what happens to you. It's how you react to it,
right?
It's how you view it. And you know, and that's where I think you're courageous, because at a certain point you decided, I'm not going to let this keep me down, you know. So, I mean, did you try to get involved in activities and stuff in school and realize it was difficult for you because of bullying and things like that?
You know, I did theater in high school and college, and as much as theater is accepting, it's also very judgmental because the mentality in acting is very different, and I'm one of the few actors that doesn't have this mentality, and it's that I need the next job. Every single person is your competition and whatnot, and that's not the way that I look at things. I look at other actresses that I'm going out for auditions for as allies, and I compliment them like, oh, I like your dress or something, because it's, if you have that negative energy in the room, you're not going to do a good audition.
Yeah.
And so they would kind of maybe not include me after in activities, but, you know, I thought I'm going to make a difference, and they're not making a difference right now. Yeah. They're in the same age as I am or older, and they're either working 9-to-5 jobs and they're not happy, or working unpaid internships and that are not doing anything. And you know what? I can only pray for them and feel sorry for them.
Right, exactly. And you can laugh all the way to the bank now while they're struggling, you know. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I was going to say something to you, but... okay, well, never mind. We'll get
no
to
worries.
It. It's going to eat. But so you become an ambassador creating IDEA, right?
Yes.
Now, tell us a little bit about that. What is that?
The IDEA Act, it basically is something, a law that would have protected me from when I was in middle school. And any teacher who tries to bully or abuse a student with disabilities can now be penalized for it and charged. So it's a way to put an extra protection, but it's not just for people with Tourette's. It's for any kind of disability, and that's what I liked.
Right.
So at 16, I went and lobbied in Washington, D.C. with Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein,
wow,
David Dreyer. And, I mean, I was a determined 16-year-old, and yeah, it passed. And that was the day that I let out a sigh of relief that no one will have to experience the pain that I went through.
Yeah.
Have they passed similar laws in other states?
Yes, they actually have. It goes state to state. I'm not sure how many of the 50 states have the IDEA Act passed. I just know that I was only able... I could have probably gone after nationally, but we have ambassadors for the Tourette Syndrome Association in every state. So each one tried to go after it or after a different bill. And yeah.
Wow. Very cool. So how many states have implemented this already? Do you know?
No, I don't.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's cool because, I mean, at 16 to bring this to people's attention is amazing. And you see, and now I can see why you had those challenges, because without them, you wouldn't be doing all these things for other people.
Exactly.
Like you said, you know. See, I told her she's an awesome person.
I'm also a chef.
Yeah, really?
I am, yeah.
Wow. So what kind of food do you like to cook?
I make an amazing Southwestern vegetarian chili with a home-baked honey gluten-free cornbread baked right on top. Uh-huh. And I serve it in little ramekins. Or I'll make a pizza with a pesto, a light formaggio cheese, a little fresh arugula, or a Mediterranean pizza with a homemade roasted red pepper hummus, a little bit of feta.
Right. Black olives, maybe?
Yeah.
How did you get into cooking?
Well, I became a vegetarian at 17, and I hated vegetables. So I had to literally teach myself to cook them to like them, and now I will eat anything. But it's just a passion of mine I've developed. My mom is an amazing chef, and she's self-taught, and each one of my siblings, I think one of the things of why we all love to cook is because my mom never pushed it on us, but we always saw her cooking and sometimes helped, and we always had the resources, like in the kitchen, the food and everything, and just kind of learned and taught on our own. And I think that's just how, and I love bringing people together and having them smile and laugh. And I actually have a bowl, and it's called the No Phone Bowl. Mm-hmm. And it says the No Phone Bowl on it. And if you come over to dinner, you have to put your phone in there for at least an hour, unless you're expecting a really big call. But to just unplug and catch up, it's the greatest feeling.
Yeah, that's true.
It is nice to disconnect. And also so rude when you're at the table with somebody and they're, like, checking their phone.
Yeah.
Like, you have the rest of the day to do it. Just not then.
Exactly, you know, and I mean, some people go on dates, you know. I mean, for me, if I'm expecting a call or something, I will tell the date in advance, you know. I might get a call or might get a text, but I'm not trying to get away. It's just that I'm always on call,
right?
You know, and people have to understand that. But I really, I never really answer the phone, you know. Maybe yeah. it'll be a text, an urgent text, I'll answer that, but that's about it. Simply because you don't want to ignore the person you're with, you know, it's very rude.
Right, because then something else is more important than who you're actually with.
Yeah, you know, so by now you'd think people would have phone etiquette, you know. We've had cell phones for so many years.
There needs to be a handbook, like a manual that comes with every single iPhone.
Actually, etiquette. Like, who cares how to use it? This is what you should do when you have one.
Right. Yeah, like along with the instructions.
Yeah, right.
I think there should be just a general, like, new etiquette book that goes out anyway in terms of, like, all behavior. Like, dating behavior, phone behavior. Also, the people that, like, this is such a tangent, but, like, when they're walking and talking on the phone and it's so loud and you hear their whole conversation, you're like, I'm not even part of that, but I hear your entire conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right. And when it's an awkward one, that's even worse.
Right.
Yeah.
And, like a breakup or a fight.
Oh,
like,
my gosh, yeah.
Don't invade my space with that energy.
Why would you want to know, why would you want people to hear your stuff, you know? I mean, people are just like, and yeah, some people just talk loud.
Yeah.
You know, I sometimes sit on my patio and stuff and people walk by. And there's a couple of them, but one girl talks really loud. She walks her dog. So I can hear her from down the street approaching, you know.
At least you know she's coming.
Yeah, exactly. And really loud calls.
You throw out the dog treats out the window because you know she's coming.
Right. Yeah. Trick her dog. But that's cool that you make sure to put people's phones away during your dinners.
And get this. This is why it's so amazing, because first person to touch their phone does the dishes. I never do dishes.
Wow. That's
a good rule. I like that.
There you go.
It's like, you can be invited back, but first person to touch their phone, second person ends up like clearing. Oh, yeah, there's a whole like list.
I like it. Wow. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
So now, when you were younger and you had Tourette's and stuff, were you able to have any friends that didn't judge you?
Yes. You know, I actually had one amazing friend who stuck by me through thick and thin. Her name is Rachel. I'm still friends with her today. She's more like a sister than a friend.
Wow.
And I think the hardest part about having the one friend is she had a lot of other friends. So, for instance, when I would call for a play date, be like, hey, Rachel, can we have a play date? She'd be like, oh, I'm going with someone else. She would feel bad because she knew she was my only friend.
Right.
And that's the hardest thing and that kind of made me determined to, like, at 16, finally, I had a few, but finally make good, lifelong-lasting friends. And, you know, I owe my life to Rachel because I wasn't alone, and she stuck by me. And it's to have one of those friends and, like, in relationships, too, someone who has seen you at your worst and still loves you like it's your best.
Right, and doesn't judge you. And
I mean, that's a good quote. You. Someone who's seen you at your worst, but loves you like your best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that. Cool. So you've had to mature quickly, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, became an advocate at 16, a lobbyist. That's pretty cool. How old were you when your dad passed away?
I was 17 and a half.
17 and a half, wow.
Senior year of high school in February, and
that must have been devastating. Were you close?
He was my best friend.
Wow.
And it was very sudden. And it just, part of my heart broke that day. But also, I grew up very cautious, very, you know, not really a risk taker, playing it safe. And my dad loved to have fun.
Yeah.
He was all about adventure and stuff. So I made it my point that day in his honor to be more adventurous and more a lover of life. So now my life motto is live to love and love to live. And
Jen likes that one,
right?
Wait,
actually, I just realized that. Wait, oh no, my quote, it's love is life is love. So it's
very close.
Similar, yeah.
Yeah, that's similar. Yeah. But, you know, we only live one life, and I've seen how very suddenly someone can be taken from you. And so I live every day in the moment, in the now, and happy. I choose to be happy. The thing that a lot of people don't realize is they'll come to me for mentoring or something, and they'll say, I want to be happy. And this is my response to them. Then be happy, because you have a choice. And you know what? If you're struggling with that choice, then this is what I'm going to tell you. Pretend to be happy, and pretty soon you'll be happy.
Fake it till you make it.
Exactly.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Sure, yeah, they say if you smile that you then, like, feel joy.
Yeah. Well, it takes 200 more muscles in your mouth to frown than it does to smile.
Really? Wow.
It's a lot of muscles we have there. Who knew?
Yeah, I know. So now, how did you, you started taking medication and everything, because you don't have tics now, right?
Medication, as well as I taught myself reverse psychology to overcome the tics.
Wow. So, I imagine that would be difficult to do, right? I mean, it's something that's totally out of your control.
Uh-huh.
And you learn to control it.
Exactly. Wow. You know, reverse psychology, it's replacing a tic with a more socially acceptable and less physically demanding tic. So, for instance, if I was hopping on my leg, I would slowly begin to tap every time I had the urge to hop. And this would be less physically demanding. I wouldn't walk with the limp. It wouldn't hurt. And people noticed less. And when people stopped noticing, I stopped ticking, because people with Tourette's, unless their tics are really bad, really severe, which I had them at one point, you don't realize you're having a tic until people around you realize.
Mm, I see.
Because it's involuntary.
Yeah. And part of the thing also is that one day we might wake up with a totally new tic. And I know this happens to me all the time. My mom will be like, was that a tic? It's like, I don't know. Wow. And so, you know, it's a learning process. And after my accident, I got post-traumatic stress disorder and had my tics back. So they come more at nighttime, but I had the worst tics of my life. I was screeching at the top of my lungs. Mm-hmm. And that's why I wrote this story, because within 48 hours of cutting gluten out of my diet 90%, I was 80% tic-free.
Wow.
What do you think the gluten had to do with it?
Gluten is one of the proteins in the wheat. It's one of the biggest triggers for people with Tourette syndrome, because it's like a stimulant.
Interesting. So funny, like, what gluten can do. Like, so many people are gluten-free now, but everyone has a different reason of why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I still eat gluten about every 10 days, or in a social situation, or just when I crave it. But it's more of just making a conscious decision to stay away from more of the breads and go for more of the salads, which is actually healthier. But I do this because if I were to completely cut it out, I would become celiac. That's what happens when you completely deprive yourself of it. And then that means you'll get sick anytime you eat gluten. So you want to just eat it, but just moderately.
Yeah, in moderation.
And anything in moderation. I mean, I can also attest to processed foods, and anything like that will make your Tourette's worse.
Right. Now, you said you wrote the story?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, there was just a day, and I was telling my friend the story. And she's like, Haley, you got to write this down. I know you're an amazing writer. You got to write this down. So I, from like 12 a.m. to 3 a.m., I went in my studio. I have an art studio. And I just started writing. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to submit this to, like, the 6 gluten-free magazines that are out there. And this was on November 25th. And I, like, didn't hear anything. And then at the end of February, the last week of February, I get an email from the editor-in-chief saying that they want to publish it in the May-June issue. And I just think to myself, you know what? It could have gone either way, and it wouldn't have bothered me.
Right.
Because I at least knew that they knew my story. The story wasn't to encourage people to be gluten-free because it would cure their Tourette's. It was to just raise awareness that it was something that helped me.
Right.
And possibly, because the hardest thing about having a child with Tourette's is that the parents, there's no hope, because you see your child struggle. There is no medication specifically for Tourette's, so it's a combination. So the medication is a slight bit of hope, but I can say that 50% of people are not on medication because it doesn't work.
Doesn't work for them?
And so they're really, it's like watching your child, I mean, jerk themselves to the point where they can have broken bones. I mean, it can be really bad, and it's socially awkward and embarrassing, and not being able to help your child. So that is my purpose of writing this article, is maybe I can just give them a little bit more hope.
You're right. You're right. Wow. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, the thing is that it makes having kids scary, but at the same time, you have to embrace this. You can't say to yourself, I'm not going to have kids because they could have something.
Right. Yeah. Right? Because also, if you face no obstacles in your life, then what do you learn from your life?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, now, is this like hereditary at all?
Yes, it is. It's hereditary, but for people that have Tourette's and don't have anybody in their family with it, it can come. It's the exact opposite of Parkinson's. So Parkinson's, you do not have enough dopamine in the brain, but Tourette's syndrome, you have too much. And so they say that the gene gets swapped. And I have two direct relatives with Parkinson's disease. And so that's where they say I got Tourette's. My child probably has a 50% chance of having it. But I've come to the acceptance of it because if any child is going to have Tourette's, to have me as a mom who has been through that and is positive still and has the patience, they would be incredibly lucky.
Right. Now, I mean that's like courageous because you know that if that does happen and you have a child with Tourette's, your life is going to be even more difficult. So, but that doesn't scare you at all.
It doesn't. I think the one thing that scares me is that I would feel really bad if my child was struggling and ended up having really bad Tourette's because I would know it's obviously from me. And yeah. I think that that would put a heavy weight on my heart. But being able to help my child and teach them what I was never able to be shown. And that's right. Part of why I mentor kids with Tourette's and am a resource because I give families hope. You know, I was able to follow my dream. And I remember that teacher was the first person of a few people to say, Haley, you will never work in Hollywood because of your Tourette syndrome. And I proved them wrong.
Yes, you did.
Not
did that
them.
Teacher get fired?
No, she didn't. Because what? Yeah.
Even after the act was passed?
Yeah, well, she eventually went on to be principal at another school, but get this, karma came and bit her in the butt.
It always does.
Because
always does
this is why, is every single parent in that school signed a petition to get her fired because she was mean. So she was a teacher for a few more years, but once she got fired as a principal, nobody kind of wants to hire someone who's fired.
Right.
So, you know, it, and that's what I believe is if you put good into the world, it will come back to you.
Right.
And it goes the same with putting bad into the world.
Same, yes.
You don't have to put bad into the world because somebody else is bad. Right. They will hang themselves.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
They always do.
Like O.J. Simpson, for example.
I mean, that guy's
walked away with murder, but I knew it would come back to
right.
haunt him.
It always
because,
does.
Because that's who he is, you know?
Yeah.
He's always going to behave like that.
And those people tend not to learn, so they make second mistakes or they just... Right. Something
that's
happens.
That's the sad thing.
Right. And I mean, I don't wish bad upon anybody, but... You are what you are.
Yeah.
And you things are. Happen in your life because of what you put out there. So,
you know, actions are very different from words. And I believe that as human beings, we are born to make mistakes, but we are also born to learn from them. And if we do not learn from our mistakes, there's no point in making them.
Right.
Perfection already exists. And so I know I'm not perfect because of that fact, but it's our flaws and embracing them that make us human.
Right, absolutely. We're not robots.
Right.
We're talking to Haley Gripp. Do you have a website you want to give out?
I do.
Okay.
HaleyElizabethGripp.com.
Okay.
And then my Twitter is at Haley Gripp. And my Instagram is at HaleyGripp_official.
Sounds good. And so on your website, can people find out more about what you do as
yeah.
far as your activism with Tourette's and
mm-hmm.
everything? Okay, cool. Now, so you started putting it all in writing. Are you going to write a book or something? Are you gonna put
Maybe one day. I've got a lot going on right now, which I
yeah,
love.
Really?
And so I think one day there will definitely be one because I think my story can help a lot of people, and that's what I'm doing with the motivational speeches right now. But definitely one day, but probably a ways off.
Yeah. Motivational speaking, wow, at 21. That's amazing.
Yeah, I've spoken
to over
40,000.
Very inspiring for people. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Thank you.
So now in your future, you probably plan in your future, is that what you're going to do? You're going to devote your life to helping out other people?
I know I will always live my life being an advocate for those in need and giving back. But, you know, I think it would be amazing to do like a cooking show because I love it combines both cooking and acting or even just right now my modeling career is more taking off, so more than the acting, which is great. I'm very blessed for any work, and I truly love what I get to do every day. But, you know, I definitely want to continue with the acting, and but I do know helping others will always be a part of my life.
Yeah. So you do want to get more into acting and everything.
Yeah.
So you've been on a couple shows. Where can people see you?
I've done CSI. I've had a reoccurring role on Killer Kids on Lifetime.
Uh-huh.
I'm in the Vatican Tapes, which comes out in theaters in a couple months. It's a Lionsgate film, and I'm like this really cool possessed girl in five scenes. And so it's a small role, but I'm in five scenes, and it's really cool. Like, I have an exorcism and with the main character, and it's really cool. And then there's the Simply Gluten-Free magazine that comes out. And then everybody, if you buy Dermovia skincare in June, I'm on the box. So that's where you'll see me on the box everywhere.
Wow,
okay. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you use it?
Congratulations.
I do. I have very soft skin.
Yeah? From that? Because of that?
Yeah. Well, really? Their masks are really good.
Really?
Where can people buy them?
I think Dermovia.com right now. And then they're like launching, and then they're sold in specialty skincare boutiques and stuff.
Cool.
And that must make you feel good because, you know, there's probably been thousands auditioning for this, right?
Yeah.
And then you get chosen to be on the box. I mean, come on. You know, that's a commitment.
The amazing part about it is the campaign behind it. And that's why I was chosen, is it wasn't just the acting and the pretty looks. It was about, you know, who is the best fit, because this is a campaign about promoting self-confidence and self-esteem and, you know, being completely honest and makeup free and saying beauty comes from within to the outside, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Wow, you're definitely an inspiration to a lot of people.
21
you know?
Going on 40.
Yeah, there you go. You're an old soul for sure, yeah. You know? That's pretty cool. What are your siblings doing? Did you say they're older than you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are they into now?
My sister is an engineer.
Wow.
And really smart. And my brother is an intern somewhere, and I'm not really sure what he does.
Really? Now, were they supportive of you when you grew up?
It's very difficult when you have one child in your family with Tourette's. And yeah.
It affects the whole family.
It does, because the parents focus a lot of attention. When there's no cure and not a lot of hope, the parents try to give more attention. And
you're the baby.
And I'm the baby. And, you know, the cute red hair and everything. So it was hard. Now our relationship is better, but growing up it was difficult.
Wow.
Do they have red hair too?
My brother has like ginger hair, kind of like in between red and brown, but like light. And my sister has brown hair.
Wow. Yeah, you have some very pretty pictures on your website.
Thank you.
Very cool. So you've done quite a bit of modeling, too.
Yeah.
I see even runway modeling, uh-huh. Right? Wow.
Yeah, my Instagram has all the up-to-date. I need to actually update my website, but that has pictures of my food.
I do
private catering occasionally, just because I love it and I'm really good.
Yeah. I see jewelry design. Is that you do that too?
You know, that's on the back burner. I actually need to get the person to take that off, because people always ask, "Oh, is it for sale?" And it's like, no, it's on the back burner because I'm so creative. I've got a flux of creative energy.
Yeah, obviously, which is
can't do everything.
Exactly.
Yeah. So don't overdo it either. Yeah. You know, don't overwork yourself to death. That's not smart either. So everybody go out, check out Haley Elizabeth Grip with 2 P's .com, and you can find out everything. Give out your Twitter again.
Twitter is at Haley Grip.
Okay.
And Instagram is at Haley Grip _official.
Official. There you go. And, congratulations to you.
Thank you.
So you said your mom is sick? Is she still sick?
No, she's doing good now.
Yeah?
She just had her last surgery, and she's totally great.
Oh, amazing.
Great.
Back
amazing.
At work and real happy. So good.
Good. Great. Which reminds me, my daughter right now is going through surgery as we speak.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. I will pray.
Yeah, she had like a couple cysts on her ovaries.
I just had that surgery.
Really?
Yeah, in August
5th. Wow.
Yep, it's very common.
It is?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I don't know what kind of cysts she has or where they are. I had one that was like the size of an orange.
Wow. And did you have pains before that?
No.
No, you didn't feel anything?
I am a weirdo that's like, bring on the surgery and all the medicine, and I get to lay down for a week and people take care of me. I'm like so weird about it. If I'm sleeping, it's not my problem. Like,
yeah.
It's the doctor's problem. I just wake up and I'm better, you know? Yeah, so I have a weird look at surgery, but I'm sure your daughter will do great. So keep us posted on the status.
Yes, I'm going to go and visit her after this.
Which hospital is she at?
Tarzana here. Oh. But you only stay there for 2 hours, then they get rid of you.
Right
yeah. Mm-hmm. Haley, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
A lot of inspiration, a lot of fun. You're an amazing woman. And do you have any romance in your life right now?
Maybe. I have my eye on somebody.
Really?
He's a really, really nice guy, an actor. Uh-huh.
Okay, well, we wish you luck there, too.
Yeah. Thank you.
He'd be lucky to have you.
Yeah.
Well, the man that one day has me, my friends say he will one day eat like a king. And my response, only if he does the dishes.
Yeah, there you go.
And doesn't use his phone at the table.
Yeah, put his phone, put his phone in the bowl. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us this week. We had a great week, huh?
We did.
A lot of great guests.
Yep.
And we'll continue that tradition next week. So have a good one. Jen, have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
See everybody Monday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.